hear the sound of a mighty rushing wave.
Welcome to Issues weekly broadcast on Spirit FM 88.3. Romans chapter 13 verse 11 to 12 says, "And that knowing the time, that now is the high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." On this broadcast, Brother Eben and his team reveal supernatural visions, dreams, and prophecies with the accounts of the Bible, real testimony soundbite of heaven and hell that can affect your life eternally. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth, on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on earth. Topical areas include the reality of life, heaven and hell, the afterlife, times, and many more. This program is live every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Be blessed as you are encouraged to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling.
Around me, I see prophecies fulfilled. Signs of the times, they're appearing everywhere.
Very good evening to all listeners. This is Spirit 88.3 FM. The program is Issues of Life. This is Eben. I'm in the studio with Brother Yao Redu. And this is a weekly program that comes every Saturday from 8 to 10 p.m. Well, we thank God for another Saturday and greetings to our listeners, various parts of the country and various parts of the world, Accra, Takrade, Cape Coast, up north, outside the country, those in Ireland, US, and Germany, and elsewhere. We thank God for our lives and His mercies. Well, we are all in times where, you know, people are asking more questions upon questions, and people are getting confused and wondering what next, what is coming, where are we in God's timeline, and all that. Well, we've spoken a lot about these things in times past, and we are discussing, what to do as Christians in these end times we live in, preparing ourselves spiritually to be equipped. And one of the critical things we have to look at is the armor of God. And last week we started it. You can listen to it online, spiritissues.info, for last week's edition. And God willing, tonight, by His grace, we are continuing from there. But first, we'll be talking about the news, some of the things in the news headlines, and some of the things happening. You know, you look at the news, the world is not getting any better, and it's not going to get any better. I mean, for that one, just be assured of that. That's a fact. You don't need to be a prophet to know that the world is not going to get any better, because I mean, clearly, you look at some of the reports. This evening, I read one report where Google is saying that they are going to allow their workers to work home till end of 2020. You know, and a lot of companies are working home in various countries and all that. And lots of people have lost their jobs, and there's so much uncertainty. One headline was airline tickets could go up to 50% higher, because if they are to practice social distancing by reducing the number of seats in the planes, that means the cost should be borne by the passengers and all that. You know, so many changes. The world is not going to be the same as we've known it over the years. Lots of changes coming. The church is also experiencing its own set of changes. And gradually, we are seeing that. I'll read one news item, for instance, which shows that the final awakening has indeed started. There are things happening that shows that God has started moving in the lives of people, and things are happening gradually. You know, that's why I am of the view that it's the will of God that matters, not how we want the church to be or when we want the church to go back. It's about God. So if God is doing his own thing, who are we to challenge his plans, and who are we to challenge how he wants things to be done? You know, and at the end of the day, you know, I know of people who, I know of someone in Accra who, you know, she goes to the house opposite our house in Accra, my sister, for instance, gathers the people. I mean, they do Sunday morning, they do a little, I mean, home church there. Then our house too, she does, she organizes some for like our neighbors as well. You know, and people are doing these home churches. I know a pastor friend in Accra, the same Sunday morning, the house is a different houses on one compound, like different families, they come together, they do their house service. Hitherto, people who would not bother to go to church are now paying attention to God. Hitherto, people who wouldn't bother Sunday morning, they are going to look for motu to eat and all those things, play football, they don't care about God. Now all these people are asking about God. You see, so God knows how to get the attention of people. Unfortunately, some Christians are not seeing it that way, especially our leaders, because we are eager to get back to the church building, forgetting that God is moving in the houses and God is doing his own thing, even on the online churches. You see, so ultimately, I am of the view that the best prayer we should be praying and the best thing we should be seeking is, let your will be done. That's the prayer we should be praying. God, let your will be done. Move as you want to move. We will not inhibit your movement. We will not stop you. Do as you will. Unfortunately, we want to do according to our will, but not according to God's will. Because, see, for those of us who, I mean, those who listened to this program last month or two, we read about David Wilkerson's prophecy, which states clearly the Great Awakening is coming after this whole shaking that we are seeing. Neville Johnson's prophecy, we read it. Also, the church is not going to be the same after. These prophecies are coming to pass. So why, except those pushing for the church to go back are not aware of such prophecies. But for those who know that such prophecies exist, and indeed it's being fulfilled real time as we are seeing it, there's no way you will be pushing that God should open the churches when you know that God is doing his own thing behind the scenes. So rather, let's go back to God, the one who allowed the church to go home. Let's go back to him and seek his will. And I believe if we do that, we'll be praying the right prayers. Because as at now, one question we should be asking ourselves is, if we are fasting and praying and the numbers are even getting scarier after fasting and praying, it should tell us something is not right somewhere. Oh, yeah, what are you humming about? You see, it's true. I mean, the reality is the reality. We fast and we pray and things get worse. Let's get back to God. Because he is running the show now. Yeah, let his will be done. And let's get back to him and ask him for his will. And what role are we to play in his will? These are the prayers we should be praying, not our will, his will. And how does he want to use us in implementing and achieving his end time will? All right, let's get into some of the news. We have powerful 6.9 magnitude quake strikes off Indonesia. Panic as tremors sent screaming islanders running from their homes. Fortunately, there was no tsunami. Thank God for that. Lots of quakes. I mean, if you go to usgs.gov, you see the number of earthquakes that happen every day, every hour, per month. You look at it and you realize something is indeed happening down there under the earth. And lots of things happening. But most times, it doesn't come in the news if it doesn't cause disasters, buildings collapsing, people dying. So most times you will not see these things. But every day, the earthquakes are happening. Every day is happening. Every day. Well, we have huge fireball lights up daytime sky over US and Canada. A huge fireball seen zipping through the sky has left residents of Washington and Oregon in the US and British Columbia in Canada stunned. The meteor was reportedly so bright that locals saw the events in broad day in the broad daylight of on April 30th, according to a report from the Express. The International Meteor Organization received nearly 50 reports from witnesses, with some even claiming it was the best fireball they had ever seen. And indeed, there's been more sightings of heavenly signs in the heavenlies in recent times. The numbers keep racking up. You know, the things that Jesus said will happen before he comes, we are seeing them in increasing numbers. And interestingly, you see, it's not that one happens and then many months later another happens. Now you are seeing that this, we see everything that Jesus said in one headline or different headlines in one day. No generation has seen the things we are seeing in the way we are seeing it. The fashion, the numbers, the rate at which it's happening, the intensity and all. No generation has seen what we are seeing. And these are the things that should wake the church up. The world is not ending now. No, he said these are the beginning. So this is not the end. No. So for those who are thinking, oh, that means that Jesus can come immediately, anytime today, please go and read your Bibles well. He says these are the beginning of sorrows. And we are now seeing the beginning.
For death, you can die.
Yes.
Can die. That one is the
fair. That's the reality.
The reality. But the real Jesus, our Lord and God, coming to take his church away, a lot of events until they happen, he will not come. He will never break his word.
Yeah. His word is true. The word is final. That's it. Asteroid the size of a van that went undetected by astronomers until the last moment comes within 9,000 miles of Earth in one of the closest flybys on record. The object called 2020 JJ is relatively small in astronomical terms. It flew past Earth at 32,000 miles per hour and around 20 times further away than ISIS, the ISS space station.
32,000 miles
per hour. Super speed.
Jesus knows how to speak.
Experts say that if the asteroid had collided with Earth, it would have most likely burned up in the atmosphere between, and all that. So, more things happening up there in the skies. Then, well, let's come back to Earth and then see some realities on the ground. Researcher close to very significant findings, quote and unquote, quote, very significant findings, unquote, in coronavirus study killed in murder suicide. University of Pittsburgh researcher that was close to making very significant findings in his coronavirus studies was killed in a murder suicide, numerous sources reported. Beng Liu, 37, was found dead in his home in Boss Township near Pittsburgh. On May 2nd, police found Liu with apparent gunshot wounds in his head, neck, and torso. According to KDA News, police ruled his death to be a homicide. A second man who police believe Liu knew was also found dead in his car near Liu's home with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head. Police have not yet released the motive. But how do you know he shot himself? It could be. I mean, this is unplanned. They plan it to let it look like a murder suicide. Suicide murder. Normally, suicide murder is where, like, murder suicide, you kill the person and then now you also kill yourself. Then, but this one, and you see, the issue is he was making waves. And you listen to this final part. Liu was a research assistant professor at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, where scientists were making strides in developing a potential vaccine against SARS-CoV-2. That's the coronavirus we are talking about, the COVID-19. The new coronavirus, according to Pharmacy Times. You see, if you want to cross some people,
they will deal with you one time. They are the only people to produce.
They will deal with you one time. Hey, these people, you don't cross their path. You see, seriously, that's why sometimes I feel worried about Madagascar, because the president and, you know, you see, these people, they can do things. So Because if they realize that, you see, if because this week I heard that AU,
of course, an uprising,
a coup or something, oh, they can easily do it. They will sponsor some people to just do some mercenaries to go and do it. You know, I heard AU has started discussing things with them. You see, when WHO here started, WHO has started debunking that the thing has not been scientifically proven and all that. Because, you see, if AU is to get a deal with them and all African countries are to use his medicine, what is the use of a vaccine?
They have a plan to kill you.
You see, so when, and you see, that's why news like this, that the one I just read, gives you an indication of the plan of some people. You see, if you are trying to make some positive waves that would spoil their plan, they will cut you off. The powers that be, they will cut you off. Okay, the next one. Now, his name is all over the news all the time. Bill Gates 6'2".
No, you are one again.
I see.
Big brother.
Oh, sorry. I think your mic was... I used the wrong mic for yours, so they were not hearing you well. I just got a message.
Sorry.
Oh, sorry for that. That was my mistake. Yeah. Okay. All right. Bill Gates seeks to microchip humanity, according to a Russian Oscar-winning director. And he says he's pushing vaccine conspiracy, loosely based on real patents. Let me read what this man is saying. Russian director Nikita Mikhalkov claims billionaire Bill Gates might be seeking to implant humanity with microchips under the guise of vaccination, seeking to control people and ultimately solve overpopulation. The ongoing coronavirus crisis has produced a number of wild conspiracy theories, as some are trying to find the secret reasons behind the pandemic. A handful of them revolve around Microsoft co-founder Bill Gates and his efforts to develop a vaccine against COVID-19. One Microsoft patent that recently received international recognition has been found by many truth seekers, quote-unquote truth seekers, to be particularly alarming. The patent WO2020-2020-060606. Let me repeat the quote. The patent number WO2020-060606 describes, quote, a cryptocurrency system using body activity data. For those who don't know cryptocurrency is digital. Currency, you have Bitcoin and those various ones. Cryptocurrency is digital, currency. So as soon as you hear cryptocurrency, that means there's going to be buying and selling. And it's going to deal with body activity. So that means it's going to deal with or be using or be linked to a human body. That should ring a bell in any Christian who has been reading his Bible, Revelation 13, by now. Okay, let me continue. Basically, a device which can be used to mine some digital coins using one's body, or rather, award cryptocurrency to the user whose body activity data is verified, as the patent abstractly puts it. The patent did not escape Nikita Mikhalkov, renowned Oscar-winning film director, who pushed quite a theory in a new issue of Besogon TV, roughly translated as Demon Banisher, dubbed In Whose Pocket the State Is. The episode was aired by Rosia 24 TV channel on Friday, but was then quietly taken down from its schedule and not repeated, something Mikhalkov has taken for an act of censorship. Yeah, let me hold on. There's this video I posted on my wall, The Plandemic. It was released this week. I don't know whether you saw it. And it came up, YouTube removes it. People upload YouTube because Facebook, they were all removing it. They were not allowing, and at least millions watched it. You see, the info in is damning. Very, very, very serious. And they know, they don't want people to know the truth.
It's a plan.
But I mean, this thing, as soon as I see it, I download quick before, because I know they will delete it. And I wasn't surprised when they deleted it. So they censored this man's production that he did. And then it goes on to say that, like any other outrageous theory peddled by a celebrity, the new issue of Because on TV went viral online, getting around 700,000 views in less than a day. Mikhalkov's conclusions might be quite far-fetched, and the patent W02020060606 is not directly linked to Gates, who has technically stepped down from Microsoft's board to focus on running his and his wife's Bill and Belinda Gates Foundation. Neither does it mention microchipping instead describing sensors coupled with a device to register the body activity. One alleged purpose of such a technology described is to encourage healthy lifestyle, with users awarded cryptocurrency for exercising. Okay, you can deceive us, but not all of us will be deceived. You see, it goes on to say, should that be a hype killer then? Hardly, as some would still be freaked out by the potential Black Mirror-esque applications of this tech. While the discussion on the encroachment of technology and various forms of controls on our daily lives has never been more relevant, and those who fear being forcefully microchipped by an evil corporation should probably first check their own pockets for a little tracking device called a smartphone, which they had purchased and carry around voluntarily.
Thank you.
Well, let's continue. Belarus president warns global elites using COVID-19 crisis to try to reshape world order.
They are doing it already.
Belarus has been one of the few nations in the Northern Hemisphere to resist introducing nationwide quarantines and other large-scale restrictions in its battle with the new coronavirus, instead preferring a targeted response. Belarusian President Alexander Lukashenko has expressed concerns over how powerful nations and interests may try to use the coronavirus pandemic to reshape the world to their own advantage. I once asked the question, is this pandemic, this coronavirus, a man-made phenomenon? I don't know the answer yet, but I have my suspicions. Are politicians and others using this situation for their own purposes? You and I both know the answer to that question.
So us.
Me, I don't know. I'm sitting by somewhere. I don't know. You and I. You already see how it is used today. Doesn't it seem to you that the powerful forces of the world would like to remake the world without a war? Quote, and into bracket, Emmanuel Macron has already called it a war. Bracket closed. Through this so-called corona psychosis or infodemic, many people are asking, what will happen after the pandemic? Lukashenko said, speaking to Maya TV in an interview aired on Friday. Okay. Lukashenko has insisted that Belarus's economy continue to operate as normal, even if this means risks to his political popularity, saying he would imagine what will happen to the country after the pandemic is over if it were to shut down. Some people are seeing what is happening now. But only when we have no power. The next one says, celebrities and scientists are calling for the world to not go back to normal. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The friends of Bill Gates, those people, the celebrities. While the majority of America in the world are wanting the world as we know it to return back to normal, a host of celebrities and scientists, including Madonna, Roberto De Niro, and a clutch of Nobel Prize winners, are calling for a radical change in the world rather than a return to normal after the coronavirus lockdowns let up. According to Yahoo, among the names in Hollywood stars, such as, a whole list of names, they've also added their names to the open letter published in the French daily Le Monde, pleading for an end to unbridled consumerism and a radical transformation of economies to help save the planet as we know it.
Help save what?
The planet. Captain Planet.
Go for Captain Planet. Way in the water. Yo, planet.
we believe it's unthinkable to go back to normal. See, I mean, look at the way they are thinking. We believe it's unthinkable to go back to normal, said the letter, which was also signed by Nobel laureates for medicine, chemistry, and physics, as well as Peace Prize winner
Mohamed Yunus. They always give this Nobel to their own people.
They said the pandemic was a tragedy, but it was a chance for humanity to examine what is essential. Adjustments are not enough. The problem is systemic, according to the letter. It went on to state the ongoing ecological catastrophe is a meta crisis, unlike a pandemic. A global ecological collapse will have immeasurable consequences. The letter has gained over 200 signatures and calling for leaders to leave behind the unsustainable logic that still prevails and to undertake a profound overhaul of our goals, values, and economies. You know, when they start talking like this, then it tells you where we are going.
Oh, yes.
The world is not going to be the same. As for that one, let that sink in. The world is not going to be the same. No, some things are going to be the new normal from henceforth. It's going to be the new normal. Like, I mean, you are going to a banking hall and it's going to be packed. It's never going to happen again. After Corona, it's now the new standard will be social distancing. It has come to stay. Washing hands is going to be a standard. If you are not careful, nose masks may stay much longer than we are anticipating. Sanitizers may be part of us for a long time to come. You know, so many changes are coming. So many changes. Okay, let's go on. Top Iranian official threatens to destroy Israeli cities amid simmering row with U.S. A former leader of Iran's Revolutionary Guards Corps, Razai, is believed to be a top advisor to the Ayatollah. Tehran will raise Israeli cities to the ground if Jerusalem or Washington dares to take any preemptive military action against the Islamic Republic, the top Iranian official told Al Jazeera during an interview recently. Says if the Zionist entity takes even the slightest initiative, you may be rest assured that we will raise the Israeli cities to the ground. They really mean it.
Israel. Same remove. It's a whole word that can come against Israel. No, you people, stop daydreaming it.
And U.S. deploys heavy bombers and hundreds of airmen to Guam to deter China. You know, Guam is an island where they have a military base there. And the deployment comes following the quiet withdrawal of 5 B-52 nuclear-capable Stratofortress bombers from Guam to the U.S. mainland in mid-April, which temporarily froze the Pentagon's 16-year-long continuous bomber presence mission on the Pacific island. The U.S. Air Force has transferred 4 B-1B Lancer conventional strike bombers and a complement of about 200 airmen from a base in Texas to the Anderson Air Base on the island of Guam, U.S. Pacific Air Forces has confirmed. You know, and it's because of China. You know, tension is gradually mounting. Before the corona, it was the trade war and exchange of tax. I mean, increased tax. No, we won't reduce tax. I mean, all those butter up and down. Up and down between Trump and the Chinese president. Then corona came. Now, U.S. blames China for creating the corona and destroying the world economy and all that. And tension is rising gradually. And last week, Beijing reported expelling a USS Barry, a U.S.-guided missile destroyer, out of the waters in South China Sea after shadowing it from an island chain contested by China and Vietnam. So, well, wars and rumors of wars.
U.S. Empire.
4 Christians killed, head of high school and family shot in north central Nigeria. Muslim Fulani herdsmen shot and wounded a Christian leader and his family in one part of Plateau State on Tuesday, 5 May, 2 days after herdsmen killed 4 Christians in another part of the state, sources said. The herdsmen shot the Reverend Bayo, head of Christian school, Messiah College, at his home on the school premises in Ghana, Rob Village. Then that was on Tuesday night. The pastor said by text message from his bed at General Hospital in the town of Bakinladi. Yes, I was shot in the head, but the bullet didn't enter. It's a miracle.
Wow.
Pastor told the Morning Star News, saying he was also grateful that bullets in his lower extremities missed the bones. Herdsman shot his wife in the back and his 2 children in the feet, but all were in stable condition. He said his wife, Naomi, was initially in critical condition and was transferred to Jos University Teaching Hospital, where she underwent surgery on her back on Wednesday. I just praise God, Pastor Famonuri said, adding that even though his wife and 2 children were shot, we are all chatting. 8 armed herdsmen invaded the school closed due to the virus. While the pastor and his family were sleeping, said the Reverend Bayang, secretary to the Plateau chapter of the Christian Association of Nigeria. Then another one, Nigeria again, abducted seminarian killed for sharing the gospel with captors in Nigeria. A member of a Nigerian highway gang that's responsible for murdering a kidnapped seminarian said they killed the aspiring priest because he wouldn't stop proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to his captors. Mustafa Muhammad, who is alleged to be the leader and mastermind behind the abduction of Good Shepherd Seminary student Michael Nadi in Kaduna State, agreed to be interviewed by the Daily Sun. According to the Nigerian newspaper, Muhammad is a 26-year-old Fulani man who admitted to being part of the 45-man kidnapping gang that has attacked and abducted commuters traveling along the Abuja-Kaduna Expressway and the Kaduna-Jos Road and other roadways in the area. Mustafa, who is now in police custody in Abuja, was quoted as saying that he is responsible for killing the 18-year-old. Nadi's body was discovered on February 1st, along with remains of a local doctor's wife. Nadi was kidnapped on January 8th alongside 3 other seminarians who were not killed. Mustafa said that from the first day they were kidnapped, Nadi continued preaching about Jesus and would not allow his captors to have peace, even though they did not share the same faith. Mustafa told the newspaper that he didn't appreciate Nadi's confidence and bravery and decided to send him to an early grave. He said the deceased kept preaching and told him to his face to change his evil ways or perish from the day he was abducted alongside his colleagues. The report reads. According to the suspect, his gang targeted the seminary because they thought they could make money by kidnapping people there. He said the gang got information of the seminary from one of its members who resides near the Good Shepherd Seminary. The report says that the gang member conducted 5 days of surveillance on the seminary before the gang followed through with the kidnapping operation.
Have you seen the intention? Money.
Oh, yeah.
And the more you give them money, after what happens, you expand their business.
All right. At least some good news to cover up for the bad ones.
Okay.
More British turning to prayer during coronavirus lockdown.
Hallelujah.
God is working.
Hallelujah.
It's not the church building that is opening the church building. That is the good news. The good news is God is working at homes.
Hallelujah.
And online. More people are now praying in the UK following the government's widespread lockdown orders in response to the COVID-19 pandemic, a survey released by the charity Tear Fund reveals. According to a Savanta Comres poll of over 2,100 UK adults surveyed between April 24th and 27th, some 44% of respondents said they pray.
Hallelujah.
And one in 20 people reported starting the habit of prayer for the first time during the lockdown.
Hallelujah.
The survey commissioned by TFund also found that one in five respondents had asked someone else to say a prayer since the social distancing measures were implemented. And one in five said they have read a religious text during the lockdown.
Hallelujah.
It is encouraging to see the number of people in the UK praying during such a challenging time, said Ruth Valerio, Global Advocacy and Influencing Director at TFund in the statement. Our experience at TFund is that prayer and practical action go hand in hand and are both crucial ways of responding. With COVID-19 rates continuing to rise around the world, we are calling more people to pray and take action. More than half of those surveyed, that's 53%, said they prayed for family members, and 27% said they prayed for those working on the front lines. One in five, 20%, that's 20%, said they specifically prayed for someone who had contracted COVID-19. Approximately one-sixth of those who prayed said they have prayed for other countries dealing with the coronavirus. Among those who pray, two-thirds, that's 66%, say they agree that God hears their prayers, and over half, that's 56%, say they agree that prayer changes the world. Half of those who pray, that's 51%, agree that they've witnessed answers to their own prayers, and over two-fifths, that's 43%, agree that their prayer changes the lives of people living in poverty in developing countries, the survey noted. The survey also found that 45% of respondents said they pray because they believe in God. And a third, 33%, believe that prayer makes a difference. Others, some 26%, said they pray during a crisis, and 24% said they pray to gain comfort or to feel less lonely. Some 25% of 18 to 24-year-olds said they had prayed about the UK government's response to the new coronavirus, which was more than any age group surveyed. And men were more likely than women to have watched or listened to a religious service since the lockdown. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. The good thing is the fact that people are now recognizing that there is God.
That's it.
Let's turn back to God. You see, and the fact that someone remembers that there is God gives a sign of hope. Because then the seed is sown. God can now start using that person gradually. You see, so people who were not paying attention to God at all now are paying attention to God. And this is not only the other countries where similar surveys are showing that things are happening. There are bookshops where Christian books, Bibles have run out, like on the shelves. Because now people are needing the Bible because they've not been reading. Now they see that no, they need the Bible.
Reverend, they trusted in the politicians, and now they know that they themselves are running.
Mm-hmm.
They trusted in our medical staff, and the medical staffs are now even praying the more.
Yeah.
They trusted in scientists and others, and they are all not getting results. So now, they have now come to see what is happening. It's a bigger hand above all those people.
Oh yeah.
And the only reasonable thing that will come into mind is God. So may the perfect will of God be
amen,
done.
Amen, 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 amen. The next one, cry the end here, is better cry. I like the headline. The Great Quarantine Revival You Are Not Hearing About.
Hallelujah.
A significant tremor of spiritual revival has been happening across our country. That's the U.S., of course. Ghana too is happening. Yeah.
It's nationwide.
Has been happening across our country during this time. So much so that is now being referred to as the Great Quarantine Revival. While no doubt many have turned to periods of self-indulgence in their time of isolation and quarantine, many have used this opportunity to question and search for meaning and the purpose in life. Often we do not see how desperate we are until our health is taken away or we experience the loss of a job and realize we are up against something so big that we need outside intervention. That's what we are saying just now. That's us, right? We are in deep need, not only because of this virus plague, but because we have forgotten God. We think our greatest need is to get a vaccine or to get the economy back. These are important, but they are not our greatest needs.
Mm-hmm.
What we need more than spiritual. Anything else in this land is a spiritual awakening.
Hallelujah.
And this one, Ghana, is also in the same.
We need it.
We also need a spiritual awakening.
Very much.
With no sports, little entertainment, and lots of time to reflect without distractions, it is a unique time in history where people are acutely aware of their need and willing to reach out to others.
Amen.
Not only do people have the time to listen, but are open and willing to do so.
Mm.
A poll conducted by Joshua Fund back in March found that 43.4% of all respondents say, yes, we are experiencing a wake-up call from God.
Amen.
1 in 5 non-Christians, that's 21.5%, polled said the crisis is causing them to start reading the Bible and listen to Bible teaching and Christian sermons online.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Even though they usually don't, they search online to learn more about Bible prophecy and God's plan for the future of mankind and have more spiritual conversations with family and friends.
Mm.
For Christians, it has also been a time of deeper spiritual connection with 4 in 10 self-identified Christians, that's 40.1%, respondents said they are reading the Bible more than ever, watching or listening to Bible teaching and Christian sermons online, and searching online to understand Bible prophecy and God's plan for the future of mankind.
Mm.
The poll's indication that people are willing to read the Bible more than ever before has been reflected in record numbers of Bible app downloads, including YouVersion Bible app, which saw 40.6 million people complete daily reading plans on Easter, up by 54%. During Holy Week, another 14.1 million people shared verses, up 30% from the year before.
Mm.
Traditional print Bible sales also saw a dramatic rise in April, as did Google searches for prayer and Christianity. That wake-up call has taken many forms and shapes, but the response online for salvation, according to several ministries, has been unprecedented.
Hallelujah.
One of the largest online evangelistic events was put on by Nicole of Paul's Ministry. An estimated 1.7 million people from 167 countries across the world tuned into Paul's service, which included translation into 40 different languages. The crusade featured the talks by Hall, renowned apologist Ravi Zacharias, best-selling author Max Lucado, NFL Super Bowl champion and Hall of Fame coach Tony Dungy, Francis Chan, and Reverend Samuel Rodriguez. It also had worship by Lauren Daigle, and then Michael W. Smith, and singing duo Carrie Job and Cody Counts. As a result of the online crusade, over 100,000 people indicated they wanted to put their faith in Jesus after hearing the gospel. The responses, which came via international call centers, email, website, and text messages, are evidence that God is at work in the midst of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Hallelujah.
Said Nick Hall, who founded Pulse and was the creative mind behind the outreach. We were literally getting smartphone photos from all over the world, from Nigeria to India and China, of families gathering in their living rooms around 18-inch cathode ray TVs, laptops, HD screens, watching our services. Hall said, the doors to our church buildings may have been closed, but the church has not closed. Let me repeat. The doors to our church buildings may have been closed, but the church has not closed.
That's true.
We are living through a great quarantine revival, and I think God is just getting started.
Hallelujah.
Hey, 2 other well-known ministries are reporting similar experiences. David Jeremiah, senior pastor of Shadow Mountain Community Church in El Cajon, California, and host of the radio program Turning Point, says that ever since the shutdown began, viewership of his online services has dramatically skyrocketed. The church is alive and well, and may be more responsive now that I can ever remember, except for the possible exception of 9/11, during the 9/11 attack. He said, what we've learned from all of this is that God doesn't need a building for there to be a church. As same way, some people don't want to hear that.
If anybody will fight this, because immediately they lock down the churches. Mm-hmm. Didn't they quote these verses mm-hmm. and tell us?
Mm-hmm.
So you cannot go back to be telling us now you don't believe it again. You quoted it and it's in the Bible. So let's stick by it. You know, we're not saying we should not go back. But what this brother is also saying is biblical.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Joshua.
The founder of Turning Point Radio and Television Ministries revealed that on Easter Sunday, a staggering 90,000 people tuned into his online worship service. "I'm preaching right now to more people than I have ever preached to my life," he said, adding that after the service, he gave viewers the opportunity to receive Christ. According to Jeremiah, over 600 people clicked on that button. "I've been doing this for over 50 years. I'm all over media and I've never had anything like that happen ever," he emphasized. "Would I rather have the 12 or 15,000 that we have on Easter sitting in the church with our choir and orchestra and Easter lilies and everybody cheering and praising? Yeah, I would rather have that. But this is the new and different thing that God is doing. It's unprecedented.
I thank God he has seen it. New and different thing that God is doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he will continue to do.
Mm-hmm.
God, nobody can stop his plan.
No,
cannot stop nobody. So what we can do is that we can avail ourselves to fit into the plan of God. If not, the plan of God will run on us in our ministries.
You know, the other reports, it's quite a lengthy report. But you see, the bottom line is God is moving in his own way. And as I said earlier, this is the time we should seek his will and fall in line to what he is doing. Normally, when revivals come or revivals are starting, some reject it, some oppose it. And those who reject and oppose it get left behind in the revival. The painful thing is, when revival starts, people who have been in the system for long normally tend to feel that they should be the ones to be used. And sometimes God is not also going along that way, because God knows our motives and our hearts more than even ourselves.
Yeah.
So eventually, those who are prepared, he uses them. So that's how come you end up seeing children, people who even do not regard, rather being at the front lines spiritually and are the ones that God is using to do great things. And then you realize that people who have been in the system for long is like, hey, what happened? You see, so the safest thing to do now, pastors, elders, deacons, Christians, is to try and fall in line to the will of God.
Bishops.
Yes, all titles observed. They should fall in line. Because you see, if you don't fall in line yourself, you'll be left behind. God will not force you to be in line regarding his will. And it's not because of your opposition to his will that the end time awakening will not happen. It will happen anyway. With or without you, it will happen. And why wouldn't you rather be part of that wave than to try and resist and feel like, well, we want to go the old way. This is how we do things. So we want to maintain it.
He said, it is hard to kick against the prick.
Yeah.
They cannot kick against what God wants to do.
No. There's one course I remember years back I learned at school, and there's a part of the course where it's resistance to change. You know, when change is coming, normally you have some who would want to resist it at all costs. No, we won't let it happen. This can't happen. But see, if you read, like Samaria, when is it Elisha, the lepers, when he prophesied that tomorrow by this time, the king's special assistant or whatever, to happen. You see, he was trying to resist it. But when the move came and people were moving, they pushed him aside somewhere. It's the same thing. When the move comes, I mean, you will push aside if you are not part of it.
Rebbe, let me just... A brother of mine had, like, he was praying.
Mm-hmm.
Was praying for the church. And you know what he saw?
No.
A new calendar, which was in a rubber sealed.
Yeah.
Calendar fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody was tearing, like, opening the calendar, opening the rubber in order to bring the calendar out.
Like
so, that is it. So, we cross-checked from somebody. You know, people have various gifts. Somebody who is very good with dreams and interpretation. The person said, that means it's a new era for God. That's God's timetable. There is a new era.
Oh, yeah.
So, he removing, being open from the rubber and removing means we have entered into a new era of God's calendar.
We've entered the kingdom age. The church age is over. The kingdom age has started. And it's a smooth transition that is happening. We are moving from the church age into the kingdom age. But that transition, that's why you see, you are seeing people are reacting, the difficulty in accepting that there's a change is difficult for some. But you see, we can't stop the will of God. We can't stop a wind when it's moving this way. Ordinary wind, we can't even stop hurricane and all those ones. How much more when God, the Holy Spirit himself, is moving?
How can you stop this?
All right. Let's go back to the song. We'll be back. The program is Issues of Life, Basics of Life.
We've turned the page, for a new day has dawned, and we've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. And where are the virtues that once gave us light? And where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday we all will awake and look back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that endures for all time. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. Oh, oh. The newest rage is to reason it out. Just meditate, overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god. They say God is no longer alive, but I still believe
in the old rugged cross.
Whoa, I still believe
there is hope for the lost.
And I know the rock of all ages will stand the changes of time, through the changes of time. We need to get back to the basics of life, a heart that is pure and a love that is blind, a faith that is fervently grounded in Christ, the hope that of life, a heart that is pure.
Basics of Life. You know, this is one song that I really, really like it. I mean, it's by a group called For Him, Four, the number four, and then Him. You know, we've turned the page, for a new day has dawned. We've rearranged what is right and what's wrong. Somehow, we've drifted so far from the truth that we can't get back home. Where are the virtues that once gave us light? Where are the morals that governed our lives? Someday we all will awake and look back just to find what we've lost. We need to get back to the basics of life. A heart that's pure and a love that's blind. A faith that is fervently grounded in Christ. The hope that endures for all times. These are the basics we need to get back to the basics of life. The newest rage is to reason it out. Just meditate and you can overcome every doubt. After all, man is a god, they say. God is no longer alive. But I still believe in the old ragged cross. And I still believe there is hope for the lost. And I know the rock of all ages will stand through the changes of time. We need to get back to the basics of life. A heart that's pure and a love that's blind. Okay. A faith that's fervently grounded in Christ. The hope that endures for all times. These are the basics. We need to get back to the basics of life. We need to get back to the basics of life. And, you know, these words are the realities of the times we live in. Indeed, these are the realities of the times we live in. And indeed, if your foundation is not built on Christ, please refocus and correct the error and get back to the point where Christ is your foundation.
Awesome.
You know, we are in times where if there was ever a time that we would desire to be serious Christians, it should be now. If there was ever a time we desire to be strong in the spirit, seriously, I mean, grounded in the word of God, praying and all. If there was ever a time we desire these spiritual things, it should be now. If there was ever a time we meditate the word of God, it should be now. If there was ever a time that we have time, private times alone with the Lord, waiting on the Lord, it should be now. You know, the devil has overshadowed and confused us and flooded our minds and our times with so many irrelevant and useless things to just waste our times. But these are the times to turn some things off your life, TV, entertainment. I mean, we should just get rid of things which are of no value to us. You know, this afternoon, a thought just came to mind. We've been through this for a number of months now, a few months or whatever, 2 months or roughly. There have been no football matches. what has happened to anyone? All the people who have been watching football, now that 2 months, no football, what has happened to you?
If I don't watch football, I will die. Have you died?
Those who, it's like, it became like, it's part of them. Unless they watch a match, they can't sleep, they can't eat, they can't do anything. 2 months down the line, what has happened to you?
It's still surviving.
And you see, this world is so, we've turned this upside down. The good is bad, the bad is good. Priority is so off. We celebrate these people, footballers, shatawales, the singers and all. And the real people we should celebrate, the nurses, the doctors, the pharmacists, the lab technicians, these are the people who rather we should see as the people worth emulating and celebrating. We've turned it upside down. And rather is people, footballers and things that we see them as heroes. Now, we see the world we are in now. Who are the people we call heroes? Is it not the medical staff? Where are the entertainers? Where are the sportsmen? Yeah. You see, just to let you understand that, you see, a time comes in life where some things have a higher priority over others. These things should let you know that for those listening who football was so strong, your passion, you can't do without football. This should tell you that you can do without football. You've gone 2 months without watching any live football match. This should tell you that you can cut it off. If you've been trying to wean yourself off the habits and the addiction of football and all those other things on TV, this is the time to start weaning yourself off it. So is this the best time? Because you've not done it for two. According to psychologists, if you don't do something for 21 if you do something for 21 consecutive days, it becomes a habit.
So if you've
not watched it for 20, that's it. Just take your decoder and throw it away somewhere, and then let life go on. That's it. Let's start a new life out of this season of coronavirus, because if you don't start, God is starting a new thing. So if you don't refine yourself, revive yourself, and put yourself in line with His will, you'll be left behind. That one there is the reality. It's the truth and it's the reality. So, you see, and it's like this relay, 100 meters, 4x1 or 4x4. You know, when the one bringing the baton is coming, the one receiving it doesn't stand there and watch. You start warming, you start hitting, running a bit. So you don't stand there. You know the final revival is coming. God has started moving. What are you waiting for? Before you start, you see, you have to start praying. You have to start purifying yourself, preparing yourself spiritually, getting deeper into the word, waiting on Him, growing in the spirit, you know, so that when the wind catches up, you're already in the spirit. But you don't wait and then standing waiting for something, you may not see anything. You may not see anything. But as you put yourself in tune with God's ways and God's will and all, then the wind, when it's blowing, it can carry you along. Last week, we started this all-important discussion, teaching, discussing, and talk about the armor of God. You know, and I learned something in the course of the week. Let's quickly, you know, we are talking of the wiles of the devil.
Yes, sir.
And I read the story of David and Goliath. And it's a classic example of how the devil works. You know, let's get into 1 Samuel 17, I believe.
The 1 Samuel.
Yeah, 17. Verse 4. I'm starting from verse 3. Okay. And the Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side. There was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. That should be about 9 feet or so. And he had a helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail and a weight. You see, the description is even similar to the armor that we are talking about. The coat of mail, the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass, and he had greaves of brass around upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. And the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried out unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants of to Saul? Choose you a man for me, for you, and let him come down to me. If ye be able to fight me and to kill me, then will be your servant. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that ye may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David, the son of the Ephratites of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men for an old man in the days of Saul. And the 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. And the names of his David was the youngest, and the 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistines drew near mourning. Listen, the Philistine, that's referring to Goliath, drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. For 40 days, he was propaganda. He was firing, and they were afraid for 40 days. 40 days, consistent, morning, evening, morning, evening. And they were hearing his words, and they were meditating on it, and they were afraid. So fear had taken the camp completely. Now, let's continue. Then, so his father sent David a blah, blah, blah. And then David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with a keeper and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. And then, as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. David heard them.
A reaction to the words.
Now, let's see how he reacts. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And the men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that is come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come. And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches, blah, 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 and on. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he may defy? He should defy the armies of the living God. You know, the reason is the devil uses fear. He speaks strategies. He speaks negative things. He puts fear in you. Your mind is under control. And if you don't resist it, eventually he overcomes you. Imagine a whole army, and one person was able to terrorize them for 40 days and 40 nights. And they were getting afraid. There was no effort to resist him because his words alone, it sent shivers through the king, Saul down to all. But how did David alone? He heard it, but he was rather angered in the spirit to resist this man. You see, so the wiles of the devil is such that when he's approaching us, he is not coming with enticing sweet words alone. He is coming with the deceptive words. He is coming to trick us. He is coming to say things that will put fear in you. And most times, we embrace it. And that's where the problem is. As Christians, let's learn this. You know, the wiles of the enemy is also the devices, his strategies, the deceptions. And he pushes all these things in various ways. So we have to understand that the devil has strategies, but God has given us his armor to use. And let's learn the lesson of David and Goliath is a classic example about how the devil is able to manipulate us with words. Words are very critical because words carry life and death. Proverbs talks about it. Death and life lies in the power of the tongue. You see, words are life and can also mean death. Because so the devil is able to project these things, and these are the wiles that he's pushing, the devices, the strategies, the deceptions. And as Christians, if we don't build our resistance to oppose it, once we begin to accept it, it begins to weaken us. As we accept it, so imagine 40 days and 40 nights. If you hear propaganda and negative things throughout for 40 days and 40 nights, there's no way you can fight it because you are finished. Because 40 days and 40 nights is enough to finish you off psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, mentally. You are gonna, you are done. And that's what Goliath was doing. Until David came onto the scene, they would have continued. Eventually, they would have lost the war because nobody would have been able to face him. No man would have been bold enough because all the men there have heard these things for 40 days and all of them are afraid. So you see, the only one who could overcome him had not been there for 40 days. So he has not soaked in this deception that the devil was projecting every day. So that's why we should be careful the things we hear. We should be careful how we absorb the things we absorb into us. Because when we know who our enemy is and his strategies, then we should also know how we resist him and how we oppose the strategies. And that's the sense of learning this series, the things we are talking about, because these topics are very deep. There are a lot of things we'll be learning as we go along. And Brother Yah will be joining and continue from there. And let's see how the Lord leads us this evening along this line.
Reverend, let me say, God richly bless you. Amen. When you talk about fear, fear is one of them. The opposite of fear is faith. Mm-hmm. That is why in the armor we will also be getting to faith. Then you get to know that majority of us Christians don't have faith. If we have faith now, why are we not afraid? Where is the healing gift, the power? God said, I will put none of the diseases I put on the Egyptians on you. So now why are we afraid? And I saw something like your roadmap going back to church, and pastors will be putting on masks and concert party. Putting on masks, so you put on masks and I'll preach and tell me, do not be afraid. The Lord is with you. Is that not concert party? You are putting on masks, you are afraid. Can you tell me, do not be afraid? The Lord is with you. What are mommy and Jenny? Amen. Let us continue. We continue with our series we're doing, The Armor of God. We need it. As we said last week, there are about seven armor, but we are still talking about the prelims. We've not even got into the armor itself. Today we're going to talk about, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, and the kind of people we wrestle against. Then finally, you must be able to stand no matter what attack the enemy brings. You have no excuse. I have no excuse. This is what you should be prepared for. And we know today we'll be able to finish it. God willing, next week, we will start talking about the armor itself. Mm-hmm. The armor, we have seven.
Yeah.
The armor, we have seven. We'll be talking about salvation. We'll be talking about truth. We'll be talking about righteousness. We'll be talking about peace. We'll be talking about faith. We'll be talking about the word of God. And we'll be talking about prayers. But today, we're talking about Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. It says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. You let me just stop there. We wrestle not. When you look at the word wrestling, have you been watching wrestling? In the wrestling we watch, it's a do and die affair. It's a win and lose affair. Wrestlers do not go to joke. And the interpretation is the struggle of Christians with the powers of evil. The struggle of Christians with the power of evil. The power of evil, they are not going to give up. They are always on guard. They never lose God. No. Satan will never lose that. If he loses the next minute he will reorganize and come. So the battle is on 24 hours. He said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Many of us, this advice, we have not taken it. Our concentration is on our mother, on our father, on our auntie, on our uncle, my co-tenant, the person close to me. They are flesh and blood. Me talking about flesh and blood. The Bible is saying we do not war, wrestle against flesh and blood. So why is it that majority of us in the churches, and I thank God today, Corona have disgraced them all. I thank God. Corona have disgraced them all. Their handkerchiefs are not working again. Mm-hmm. Their holy water is not working again. Their ring, the salt, the water, the soap, the cutlasses, they say, oh, they use it.
They
would destroy. Where are they?
Those things were for old sickness.
We thank Jesus that they have been disgraced.
Yeah.
It cannot work. They have gone into hiding. They claim they have powers. Healing left to right. Doing crusade on healing left to right. And immediately Corona came. It seems preaching on healing has gotten lost. In a church, we thank Jesus. We've seen it clear. He said we don't fight against flesh and blood. But many of you were told your mother, your father, your uncle, your this has done this to you. And since then, you became anointed with them. Me, I've been saying this time and memorial. If you tell me my mom is a witch, I'll go and bring my mom so that you cast the witchcraft out. So that I can take my mom home. Oh yes, you bet too. You will cast that witchcraft out. If you tell me my mom is a witch, I'll tell you, wait, pastor, I'm coming. I'll go and call her creature. So yeah, before, but she ain't going to. I will bring my mom for you to cast it out. But because majority of pastors wanted to be knocking the heads of parents and children, yeah. I'm not saying spirit cannot use your mom. No. I'm not saying spirit cannot use your fathers. No. They can be used. But they are not the people you are fighting against. If those spirits are cast out, your mom, that bad behavior your mom, your father is doing, if those spirits are cast out, your mom will not come back to her senses. Your father will not come back to his senses.
Yeah.
So it is not them, the spirit using them. I never saw for once in the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, if it is now that Jesus has come to update the Bible and to bring some, I don't know. When a prophet of God told somebody your mom or your father is doing this to you, both in the Old and New Testament. But suddenly, before Corona, we have been told your mother, your uncle, your auntie. But God said, we don't fight against them. If this thing should sink much into our heads, usually we will not have problem with a lot of the people. Whatever they do against me and you, we will get to know it is not them. So everything your mother, your father, your uncle, your brother, your sister, your husband, your wife is doing, it is not flesh and blood, do you know? He said, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. Please, these are the kind of people we are battling with. These are the kind of people, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world, spiritual wickednesses in high places. So are these the kind of people you were using the banana and the water, the soap and the sand against? Can you use soap against? No, I buy funku, Aira. Come on, Corona. I buy funku is lost. The witchcraft, the ad we call cream you said you have, you said. Now it's gone into essence. Have you seen? We thank Jesus. Corona is really making us know. Somebody said it somewhere. If after Corona, you go to take the handkerchief, the bangle, the chain, the sticker of any man of God, the soap, holy water, Florida water, salt, and they tell you it has power, you are very stupid. If after Corona, why are they running from you now? If they had that power, why are they running from you? But suddenly, you have some stupid people still. After Corona, if God should allow, they will go back after handkerchief,
after bangles, after soap, after water. What can soap do to principality? What can water do to principality? What can salt do to principality? Please. We've been fools for far too long. But now, it's about time me and you, we get our senses back. He said we fight against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. These are the kind of people we fight against. We'll be going into the Bible and we will see more confirming this. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. We don't fight against flesh and blood. So stop focusing on your mom, your father, your uncle. Focus on the demon, the principality, the powers of darkness that is using your mom and your father. Focus on them. Every day I've been saying this. Assume me, I'd say my mom is a witch. And I kill my mom. Have you killed that spirit? No. And my mom decided to give that witchcraft spirit to a little guy in my house. Will you kill that one too? Then that little girl will also give it to your wife. You will kill your wife. We'll give it to your boss. So by the time you finish, you have killed everybody in the family. If truly you can kill them. But you cannot. It's a lie. It is a lie. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Let's look at verse 38 and 39. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 and 39. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, neither height, neither depth, neither any creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. In the midst of we fighting against principalities, against powers, against all those demonic entities, we are still being told that they should not separate us and God. My dear brother, my dear sister, man of God, woman of God, we fight not against flesh and blood, principalities, powers, dominions, rulers in the dark places. But yet still we have been told that still in all the battle they should not separate us from God. So you must know the rules of engagement. Mm-hmm. You cannot give up, no. You cannot beg principalities or powers of darkness, begging them. No. Be prepared for battle. That is why it is essential these studies we're doing. You listen to it very well. It is not salt. When God talked about the armor, there was nothing like salt, water, soap, nothing.
Armband.
Handkerchief.
Sticker.
No. Somewhere, even you see, they have magic singlet, some of the churches. Now, let me tell you this. I saw some letter roaming in town on social media. Be careful. Supposedly from Latter-day Saint, saying they are refounding and tight. Please, be careful. Do you know why? They don't work for our Jesus Christ of Nazareth because of their doctrine, which is contrary to Jesus. And sadly, I saw a lot of Christians, because they saw the news to be good.
Yeah.
A refund of tithe. Mm-hmm. 3 years tithe. They are refunding it to you. So many Christians thought it's a good thing. So they want to share it so that their churches will do so. It's a lie. That letter, supposed letter, is a propaganda for people to come into that church.
No, but I hear it's even not true.
If it is true, it's a propaganda. Because who wouldn't want that his or her tithe be refunded? Brethren. So if it is true, it will be a propaganda. You get it? Propaganda. In the first place, I've been saying this, tithe. Tithe is not for any human being, it's for God. So under normal circumstances, I've been saying this, where they record your tithe, wanting to know the figures, it is wrong. So it is not even supposed to be recorded. And to talk of, we're giving it to you, and those who have left the church in time past, we will give it to all of them. It's a propaganda. So anybody who sees this and share it will not let many people who want to go to that church, which is also a lie. Be very much careful. Don't fall for anything. That is what I mean. I don't send a lot of things. I send only things that I can go to stand in judgment for. Because everything you share on social media, you're going to give account. Are you aware of that? Mm-hmm. Don't tell me I did not know. Don't tell me somebody brought it. Did the person force you to share it? Sharing something means that you believe in it. Unless maybe you are sending it to somebody to say, please cross-check this for me. But if after getting it, I share it out of the public domain, it means I also believe it. And if it is not from God, what are you going to do? Let us continue. So please, in the midst of the fight we have against principalities, powers of darkness, rulers, spiritual wickednesses in high places, we are told they should not separate us and God. You don't have an excuse. Because some have survived these same people and gotten to paradise safely. We'll be reading all of them in the word of God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 4 to 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, from verse 4 up to verse 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. So what will sticker do to you? Bangles, chain, water, soap, cream, cutlass. The people you are fighting with, they are spiritual beings.
Cain,
yes. Aba, cotton cloth, wear trouble, and some aba. Please. This is the word of God. The weapons of our warfare is not carnal. So everything is spiritual. So if they are spiritual, what do you need carnal things for? To fight this battle? No. He said, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And now he's going to continue. When we talk about strongholds, listen to some. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations, even your own mind. As Brabant said, fear. We are imagining. These people have said this. If I don't do it, what will happen? They will beat me. They will do this. Hey, I will lose my wife. So we will begin to manage, be imagining and be processing even things that will not happen. He said, casting down imagination. And every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God. So everything that impedes the knowledge of God must be brought down. But sadly, majority of us will fall for that one. Anything, either government, either rulers, either whoever, that wants to impede the study of God must be brought down. But sadly, we are endorsing it. He said, I exalted itself against the knowledge of God and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. This is how you win the battle. The principalities, powers. The fight is not carnal. But you must be able to bring everything into captivity to obedience of Christ. So to attain victory, you must obey Christ 24/7. To attain victory, he was the only person that overcame Satan and his people. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 to 11, he overcame Satan. He came to tempt Jesus, but Jesus overcame him. And get to know, by then Jesus had fasted 40 days, 40 nights. Get this, 40 days. 40 night, no Facebook, no WhatsApp, no Twitter, no TV, nothing. But immediately after his fasting, that is Matthew 4, 1 to 11, Satan went trying to deceive Jesus. And this is the man, me and you. The only thing Jesus used to defeat him, that it is written, the word of God. And now we think that oil can defeat him. Salt, handkerchief, bangles, sticker, cutlass, cane. Please. Somebody who could not fear, he did not fear God. Did not fear Jesus and his 40 days, 40 nights fasting. Went to tempt Jesus immediately after. And me and you, we are ignorantly thinking salt, water, apple, oil can defeat this man. That is below common sense. Let's continue. He said, and having in readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So to be able to be victorious in this spiritual warfare, which is not carnal, every disobedience me and you have walked in, we shall revenge it by obeying Christ Jesus 24/7. This is how you can win the battle. This is just a little upon. We'll be talking in deep next week, giving you the armor one after the other. Now let us go and look at Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 and 15. We're talking about, we're resting not against flesh and blood. Ephesians chapter 2, 14 and 15. For he is our peace. That is, Jesus is our peace. Who has made us both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in the flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in his ordinances, for to make himself a twain, for by him making peace. So it is only Jesus who can help us to abolish this enmity, all the ordinances which are contained against us. Until we surrender totally to Christ Jesus, forget it. You cannot overcome these people. I cannot. We cannot. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. It is only Jesus that can give you this victory in your fight against the principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. Let's look at Luke chapter 10. So if you have any problem with principalities and others, and you go to Malams, you go to Jujuma, you go to occultism, you are just worsening your case. You are just worsening your case. Luke chapter 10. Let's look at verse 19. This is Jesus talking. Behold, I give you power to tread over serpents and scorpions and over every power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. The principalities, the powers that we war against, Jesus is saying he has given us power over them. And it's only Jesus who said this. Peter did not say so. Abraham did not say so. Moses did not say so. David did not say so. Mary could not say so. Paul could not say so. Muhammad, no. But Jesus said, I have given you power over everything of Satan. So the principalities, the powers of darkness, rulers of darkness, dominion, it is Jesus that gives power over them. Let's go to John chapter 14, verse 30. John chapter 14. Let's look at verse 30. This is Jesus talking. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me. Jesus is saying Satan is coming, but Satan has nothing in me. When principalities come, when powers of darkness come, when dominion come, if they have anything of theirs in you, and that is sin, if you have sin in you, they will come. Because Jesus had no sin, he said he is coming, but he has nothing in me. My dear brother, my dear sister, if me and you have any sin in us, let us take Christ Jesus. If not, forget, they will overcome you. If you have sin one, I have sin one, they will overcome us. But if we will run to Jesus by his grace, his death and resurrection on the cross, we will believe and confess him as our Lord and repent completely from our sins. They will come morning, afternoon, evening. For them, they wouldn't stop. But they will not have anything with you. This is how Jesus overcame him. So if we are going to overcome them, the principalities, powers of darkness, as we talked about. This is the formula. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. Colossians chapter 1, 12 and 13. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints, who has delivered us from the powers of darkness and have translated us into his dear kingdom. He has delivered us. It is only Jesus who can deliver me and you from principalities, powers, dominion. Apart from him, nobody. My dear listening to me, run now to Jesus. He is the only person who can deliver me and you. There is no other way. Now let's look at this. James chapter 4, verse 7. We're talking about principalities. They are enemies. Powers, they are enemies. What can we do about them? James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourself, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. He never said kill the devil. Submit first to God. Total obedience. Holiness and righteousness, inside out. Then from there, you will resist him, because by obeying the word of God morning, afternoon, evening, you are resisting him. And if you continue to resist, he will flee. As Jesus resisted him in Matthew chapter 4, from verse 1. When he got to verse 11, he left Jesus after Jesus resisted him. And the only way you can resist him is living by his word. Going by the word of God. Apart from that, me and you, we cannot resist him. Let's look at 1 Peter. Our enemies, they are not jokes. They are not people we can toy with. Me every day I've been saying this. Satan deceived two men, Adam and Eve. Only two people. God created the whole world and gave it to them. Gave them a garden to sit in. God comes to visit them every day. But yet still, Satan was able to go and deceive them. Two men. Two people. And you think this personality is a joke? He deceived Adam and Eve to envy God. They wanted their eyes to open like God. Two people. The whole world was given to them free. But yet still, Satan was able to deceive them. My friend, when we underestimate the power of Satan, that is why he flaws us. But when you know his standard, it will help you to prepare to get close to Christ the more, so that you can win. Don't joke with Satan. Every day I've been saying this. Apart from Christ Jesus, the next person I fear is Satan. Apart from Christ Jesus, the non-personality I fear after Christ Jesus is Satan. You know why? Even angels. He deceived one third of angels. One third. Angels don't marry. They don't need money. So what did he tell them? Angels, they don't marry. Don't joke with Satan. The only way you can joke with Satan is totally obey the words of Christ. Live according to the word of God. That is all. That is the only way you can joke with him. If Christ is fully formed in me and you, but if not, and we move away from Christ by an inch, we will fall. We will fall. Let's continue. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resisteth in the first, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. Peter and Paul and all the others, they passed through this. And I'll be giving you Bible verses to that effect. They resisted. Devil, Satan, is your adversary. Don't joke with him. Don't play with him. Be prepared 24/7. And the only way you can be prepared is to be like Jesus. Always living the word. Ready to defend the word. Ready to obey the word of God. That is all. The entire armor we'll be talking about is all about the word of God. From salvation, one. Straight up to the last. From truth, straight up to the last. From righteousness, straight up to the last. From prayer, it is all about the word of God. The entire armor of God is all about the word of God. Now let's look at this. Daniel. Let me give this scenario in Daniel. Satan. He talked about principalities, powers. Let's look at what one satanic angel did in Daniel. Then you get to know the kind of people we are joking with. Daniel chapter 10. Let's read from verse 10. Daniel chapter 10. He said, and behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. So if the hand touched him to set him upon the knees and the hands of his hand, then it means he was not like a goat. The hands was on the ground and his knee was on the ground. This is a man, Daniel, beloved, who has fasted several days. And this personality came upon him. And Daniel didn't have power. Fell flat on the floor. But the person tagged him. And Daniel could not stand. He has to be on his knees and the hands on the ground like a goat. Listen to what happened. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved. And he said, beloved, understand the word that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. So he was even commanded before he could stand upright. For unto thee I am now sent. And when he has spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then he is saying, when I even gathered strength to stand, I was still trembling before him. Then it means this person was very superior to Daniel. Listen to what happened. Then he said unto me, fear not, Daniel. For from the first day thou did set in thy heart to understand and to chasten thyself before God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Listen to 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. If a whole angel sent by God to bring or to come to take, bring understanding to a godly man of God who was fasting, was captured by principalities for 21 days until reinforcement from Angel Michael came to release him. My friend, these are the kind of people Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 told us we are fighting against. So a principality, that angel, I don't know, the king of Persia, I don't know whether it's a principality or powers, I don't know. But he was able to arrest, to withhold an angel, stand against an angel for 21 days. The angel was not going on his own errand. No. He was sent by God. But this principality was able to stop him 21 days until reinforcement came. Isn't this are the people that we want to use oil, water, soap, calendar to fight them? We are jokers. Now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13. So please, the people we are fighting with, they are not jokers. They are people who are prepared. If they were able to arrest an angel, hold that angel for 21 days until a senior man came to help him. Now please, don't joke with your Christian life. Christianity is not about joke, it's a warfare. Daniel had fasted several days, a week. He was a holy person. And yet still, his angel bringing an answer was arrested 21 days. And me and you think we can continue in sin and still pray for answers to come? May Jesus have mercy upon us. Ephesians chapter 6. Now let's go to 13. Wherefore, take all unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand. He said, we may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Now get this. The whole armor. He didn't say some. By the grace of God, even next week, we'll talk about it, we'll start talking. There are seven. You need all of them. I said it last week. You cannot take six and leave one. You cannot take 5 and leave 2. You cannot take 4 and leave 3. You cannot take 3 and leave 4. You cannot take 2 and leave 5. You cannot take 1 and leave 6. The whole armor. Until you and me take on the whole armor, there is no way we can stand Satan. Do you know why? When Satan is coming, he views me and you in the spiritual realm.
Yeah.
And he knows what part of the armor is missing in me and you. And that is where they will attack.
You'll be exposed there.
You'll be exposed. They will attack you there. So I say, the evil day will come. So in Christianity, evil day, it is constant. He said, put on the armor so that when the evil day comes, you'll be able to stand. So there is no way you and me can escape the evil day. Those who have the escaping mentality, we want to escape. No. You cannot escape. That evil day is part of your test, part of my test, part of our examination. It will come until you have the armor. I have the armor. We cannot run. Now let's go to see how our Jesus, he was able to stand. Others have passed. He said, to be able to stand. I want me and you to learn a little about some Bible verses to see that some people have passed the test already. So what excuse do you have? So that God willing, next week, we will start taking the armor one after the other. Now let's go and see Hebrews. Let's look at our Jesus Christ first. He's our master and savior. Hebrews chapter 12. Let me read verse 1 and 2. The verse 1 will take me back to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll be reading it after. But let me just take the 1 and 2. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. The cloud of witnesses is those in Hebrews chapter 11, the heroes of faith, which I'll be reading some. He said, let us lay aside every weight. This is the first point. You must lay aside. We must lay aside every weight. And sin which doeth easily so beset us. Let us run the race with patience that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God, endured the cross. And Jesus said, everybody must take his cross. How did Jesus die with the cross? It was pain. Painful. So if Jesus died with the cross, and he said, you, me, we must endure. Take our cross also. Why do we want to run away from the cross? We want to sit in limousine to be chauffeured to heaven. Oh boy, you lie bad. We must endure the cross. So this is what Jesus passed through. We will say Jesus is God. Let us put Jesus aside. And let us see. Let's go to the Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, let's read verse 7. We are just reading some. Verse 7, he said, by faith, Noah being warned of God, of the things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared the ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir unto righteousness, which is by faith. Can you imagine what Noah passed through? Every time, this is what the Lord has been asking me. He said, yeah, small insult here and there. And you seem to be depressed. He said, can you imagine what Noah passed through? One man, the entire world. One man is not a whole city. It wasn't a whole town. One man, the whole world. Pretty. Something that everybody have gotten it wrong. People did not believe. But the Lord said, preach it. Can you imagine what he suffered? But yes, though, he stood. So the Lord told me, young, if you give up every message I've given you, because people are saying, because people are lambasting you, you will have no excuse, because Noah stood. One man. If you know what you are saying, it is God, preach it. But if you know it is not God, change it immediately. Because if you say anything God has been saying, it's a blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. Say anything that it is from God, which you yourself, you know it is not from God. It's a blasphemy against the Holy Ghost. That is what I mean. When you ask me a question, I don't know, I'll keep quiet. After all, I will not take any money from you answering you. So if I don't know, why should I lie and go to hell? I won't do that. If you ask me, I don't know, I will tell you, I don't know. Let's continue. Verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called out to go out into a place which he should receive after an inheritance, obeyed, he went out, not knowing whither he went. This is what some people pass through. The evil day. their trials. This is what they suffered. Leave your family. Go to a place. He never knew it, but he obeyed. What of you and me? These are biblical examples about people who were able to stand. He said, after all the evil day has come, you should be able to stand. And we're giving me and you biblical references. Now let's go to verse 13. Verse 13, listen to this. This all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on earth. All the Old Testament people, their promise, they saw it afar off in a spiritual realm. They didn't get it physically. That is why when even Jesus came, he said, blessed are ye who see these things. For the Old Testament people wanted to see. So if they did not see, and now we are seeing more than they saw, and still we don't believe it, what excuse are we going to give? Let's go to verse 24. Then verse 24. He said, by faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the sons of Pharaoh's daughter. 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproaches of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. He was ready to suffer, chose intentionally to suffer with the people of Christ than to enjoy the pleasure of sin. And now we don't want to suffer. Let me add 36 down, then that will be my final verse for today. God willing, next week we'll continue. 36. Listen to what others pass through. Because he said, when the evil day comes, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13, that's what we're interpreting. He said, when the evil day comes, you should be able to stand. So we are giving ourselves Bible examples of people who stood. They passed through worse things than me and you, we are passing. Listen to this. That's Hebrews 11, 36 down. And others had trials of cruel mockings and of scourgings. Yeah, more of bones, imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheep's clothing and goat's skin, being destitute and afflicted and tormented. This is what some people survived, though. And they stood to the end. Reverend, let me leave it here. God willing, next week, we're going to continue. May Jesus Christ be with us.
We thank God. You know, we are talking of these things, equipping ourselves, building up ourselves. Let me finish off with a letter from David's issue that I was reading. I think I'm almost done. Let me just read. So, verse 43, first some of 17:43, and the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. That means there was a spiritual projection against David. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I'll give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beasts of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts and the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand, and I will smite thee and take thy head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel.
Projecting God in everything, putting God at the center, giving the victory, everything to God.
Yeah, he didn't project himself.
No.
But you see, for the fact that Goliath cursed him means the battle was now being dealt with at the spiritual level. So you see, Goliath escalated it to the spiritual level. So David also had to move to the spiritual level. So you see, when we are, the reason why we need to be spiritually equipped, and that's why we need these spiritual weapons in our warfare, especially in the times we are going in, because the devil will bring projections against us. So if we are going to be carnal Christians, living in the flesh and living a careless life, living as we know all the time, then we cannot stand. But this is a typical example of how, when Goliath escalated the battle to the spiritual level by cursing him by his gods, that means Goliath has invoked the demonic forces in his god. That means David too needed his god, so now also invoking the presence of the power of God. So I come to you in the name of, you see, it tells you how important spiritual warfare is. And especially in these evil days we live in, we cannot joke with these things. Years back, yes, we could have lived anyhow, carelessly, living in sin. Anything goes anyhow. But please, the times has changed. The season has changed. We cannot go on as we used to any longer. A new phase, a new season demands a new strategy, a new approach, and a new Christian life. Let's live a revived Christian life going forward. Because if we are to maintain that old strategy, then we cannot stand the days ahead. And let no one deceive you that the days ahead are going to be easier and better. No, no, no. Tough times are coming. The truth is the truth. We have to say it as it is. The hard times and difficult times are coming upon this world. So if we don't stand our ground now spiritually and equip ourselves and grow and be matured to be able to resist the difficult times ahead and to endure difficulties, as Jesus said, then we'll be disappointed. God willing, next week we'll be coming your way. This is Issues of Life. This has been Eben with Brother Yao Redu. This recording will be on spiritissues.info. God willing, next week I'll be doing a revamping of the site. We are going to make it, I'm going to add more things. People talk about the news and all that. We'll be adding all the news that we use every week. All right, so this is Eben. Good night and God bless you.
Your next mission will require...